His birth name is Adolf Kokendorfer. Well, that's on his driver's license, but we all call him Coach K, and he's here from St. Edmund Boys Basketball. Coach K, a win last night for you guys at Hampton Dumont Cal, and I don't know what you said in the halftime locker room, but whatever it was, it must have worked because you guys come out in the second half and go 35-16 in the second half and route to a 67-43 win. What was the difference, Coach?
Oh, you know, there was no big speech or anything. It just continued what we were doing. You know, we had a couple chances to get some separation in the first half, and we didn't. We got in a hurry. But we did a good job on the defensive glass because they're sending five guys to the boards. I mean, that's right. A big part of their offense. So we knew we had to, you know, everybody's got to go to the glass. It might hurt our transition game, but we can't keep giving them the ball, you know.
Sure.
And I thought we did a good job in that. We talked about that. But being a little bit more patient offensively, if you got something to the rim, that's fine. But the more you move, it's hard to guard a pass basketball.
Yeah.
So it gives those guys angles. And when you're reversing the ball, you got the defense running at you.
Sure.
And so I think we did a better job there, being more patient. Guys sacrificed a little bit where they could have had a decent shot, but passed it for a better shot.
That's good. The extra pass. They always talk about the extra pass. You know, you brought up something that I think is interesting about ball movement, too, that sometimes people may not realize, is that when you have the ball moving like that, too, you're creating extra space for the shot. So when you have the extra space for the shot, you're going to shoot a higher percentage.
No doubt.
I mean, you know, I tell guys, you know, when I coached, I always told guys, look, I would rather you kick it out and us shoot an open three than you try to drive it and go up for a leaner over top of a guy from 10 foot or whatever. That's a harder shot. For me, an open three is better than a guarded two.
Yeah.
I mean, and that wasn't always the philosophy that people had. But for me, that was the deal. And I think kind of some of your concepts are kind of basically similar to that.
You know what? What you just said. That kid makes that three. Now that drive is that much easier the next time.
Yep.
Yeah, they've got to do something else. They can not only better stay home on this guy, so I'm not going to get help on that drive. You know, it all lends itself to something else. And I'm exactly the same way, you know, especially if they have a big inside, just laying back in there and helping out and stuff. But so you're right. I'd rather do that anymore. I don't know if I would have said that before, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny too, is the game itself has evolved. That's kind of changed in philosophy for a lot of people too. Last night, you know, 67-43, your win over Hampton Dumont Cal. You're now 2-0 coming off a loss this season. And I saw your face just now when I said that. And the reason why I say that is I think it's not necessarily to credit you as much as it is to credit the players. I think these guys are doing the old thing that we're trying to get them to do as coaches, and that's not dwell on a loss, but bounce back and be ready the next time.
Yeah, you know, I think they're dialed in. They're getting more and more dialed in to where, you know, adversity should make you dig in deeper. Sometimes it makes you go, oh, this is terrible, and start feeling sorry for yourself. So that adversity, what we're seeing, you know, can you handle that? Can you deal with it? That's a life lesson that you try to teach. It's going to come in everything you do. So I think they're handling that adversity a little bit better. And so that's a good thing. You're right. But you are jinxing me, and I know how you jinx Dick. I know Dick over there. We have some tough ones coming.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't lose again, you won't be coming off a loss, so it won't matter, right?
That's it right there.
It's
negated. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm helping you handle what you got to handle.
I know.
You know, here's what...
I'm taking it the wrong way, yeah.
Misunderstood, Coach. I spent most of my life in that category. Three players for you last night in double figures. I would have to do some research on this, but I'd be willing to bet that your two wins, you've had at least three guys in double figures. It seems to be the key for you guys.
We've got five or six guys that can score. Now, you say that. Southeast Valley, they didn't, but you got to credit Southeast Valley. They put some really good defense. But we do have guys that can score, and we talked about it last night. If you can play defensive rebounding and you have some talent, you can have a really kind of a special season if
right.
you do that. And we do. Bringing guys off the bench that can score at this level is really huge. You know, if I'm a coach and I got this guy coming off the bench, you know, I'll think, maybe we can cheat off that kid a little bit. Right. We have a couple kids that can really shoot the ball coming off the bench. What an advantage if we can just defend and rebound really well.
Right.
They're going to get looks right off the bat. And they knock some shots down. We're patient. You know, it's always better to touch the ball a few times before you shoot it. There's
right.
a few kids, but not very many, that can come right off and throw up a cold one. It's better to touch it. Get in sync a little bit. Get a couple feels.
Get warm a little bit.
And then on that ball reversal, you're stepping into the shot instead of just grabbing it flat foot and you're hoisting it because you know you can make it. You're open, but
right.
that doesn't mean it's a good shot.
Yeah. It goes in rhythm. You mentioned bench production. Noah Simpson with 10 for you off the bench last night. I thought that was a big lift. Of course, Hayden Mayer with another good game. Hayden Mayer's been a guy that in the games you've won, he's been in double digits. I think that's been kind of key for you guys getting some production in the front court out of him. And Quentin McCarville with 19. And, you know, he's a guy that's really kind of stepped into a role as being kind of a guy that you're relying on to give you some buckets.
You know, and I think Quentin realizes this, but the guys are starting to look for him. You know, they're getting him the ball where he's in position to be successful. And the more he realizes that, the better he's going to be.
Sure.
And, you know, like you mentioned Hayden Mayer, he's been real steady. Now, he's a post player at about 6'3", but he weighs about 165. He's 170. But he's working really hard at what we're asking him to do, like against Southeast Valley. They got the big kid down there.
Braves, yeah.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's an animal. And, you know, every time down, he tried to front him. And he's knocking him around. He's getting knocked all over the place. And it tires him out after a while.
Sure.
But he's trying to do what we asked him to do, and it was trouble for him to score in there because it was a physical game. But he's been consistent, and that's what we're looking for.
Well, and that's the thing. Aaron Graves is a different animal. Like, you're not going to see a guy like him very often that's 6'5 and 250 and also an athlete like
right.
that can move around. I mean, you don't see that. That's why he's as heralded as he is as a football recruit.
You know, saying that, we held him to 12 points, and we held our leading scorers averaging in the 20s to 10 points.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that either. Now, we did a decent job there.
Yeah.
You really have to credit them. We didn't get those times you were talking about where you can set your feet and shoot. Very seldom did we get. They closed out really hard. They're fairly athletic in that zone, and they would close out high on us. And then we get in the lane, and then you got him and maybe the Graves kid and somebody else waiting to help. They did a really good job. I credit them. But we did a decent job defensively, too. We just couldn't score.
Of course, those high hands on the closeouts are an important thing. You know, that's something that you tell your players a lot. That's the difference in a made shot and a missed shot. Like, when guys can actually shoot the ball, when you're playing against good competition, and guys can shoot the ball, the difference between a made shot and a missed shot is how you close the shooter.
Yeah. You know, if you have somebody coming at you with their hand down, and I'm like 6 foot or 5'10", I can take my time now a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, so I've got a clear path now.
Exactly.
You know?
You close out high, and now I'm shooting over top of somebody. It's huge.
Yeah.
Well, remember Syracuse with Mello and those guys with that zone,
yeah.
Jimmy Boeheim, they closed out high and quick all the time. You think, oh, God, you're going to get some shooters, we'll spread them out, we'll get a guy over here, a guy over here, a guy over here. They can get a lot of good looks.
Of course, when you've got, you know, every guy you got 6'6" to 6'10", and they're all long, that makes a big difference in the way you can cover, too,
yeah, well,
as far as
totally.
That goes.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But at our level, if you can be, you know, if you can learn to close out high and hard like that, and then you'll have somebody to back you up if they ball fake and put it on the floor.
Right.
That makes it kind of tough.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, that to me, that's a major difference. And, you know, I sometimes you get guys who think, you know, that just that's a hand in the face. That's a contesting.
I know,
you know, contesting
really
a shot. That's not, you know, full extension. That's what you're always trying to get after with guys closing out, is get a full extension when the guy goes up, so that, you know, his vision of the rim is impaired a little bit, you know, when he shoots the ball. So
a lot of little things, Rob, that you have to work on in practice. And, you know, if they pick up on them, that's really good. You know, you don't have to keep repeating yourself or keep going over that thing. It's not that difficult. You know, really good players take coaching and they listen and get better because of it.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to Hampton, Rob, for a second, you know, Coach Walton does one heck of a job up there. You know, he doesn't get a lot of those 6'8 or those, you know, 6'2 guards. He's had them in the past and had really good success with them, but he doesn't get a lot of them. You know, he's got that team going to the glass. Five guys, that's, and they pressure and they run. And, you know, with what they have, that's the best thing to do. So we knew, you know, for us, we were going to have to go to that defensive glass and keep them off. Now, the Heath does a super job up there, I'll tell you. He's been a friend of mine for years. He's coached up there a long time. He's had some good teams when he gets those guys. And they always compete. Our conference is a tough one for them also because of the bigger, talented schools. And
That's the dynamic that maybe gets lost is that a lot of the schools in your league, you know, you've got schools like you guys in Hampton or some of the smaller schools, maybe Iowa Falls, Alden. And then you go all the way up to the Humboldts of the world and stuff
Webster
in this league,
City,
too. Webster City,
Lake.
You know, all those bigger schools. So it's an interesting dynamic with kind of the David and Goliath kind of comparison there.
You've been around enough to know that if we have 130 kids in the high school and someone's got 450, they're going to have six more athletes by default than we have.
Right.
So, you know, it's been good. If we can do the little things right, and we have a couple of kids coming off that bench that if you don't guard, or even if you guard sometimes, they're going to be able to score.
Right.
That's a different dynamic to add. Our whole thing is doing that little stuff right now. If we can just dig in and scrap, you know, maybe we can compete against some of those guys. That's just something we have to keep working on. And I hope we're starting to turn that corner where they realize that. Because we do have a little talent, but we're going to have to scrap for everything we get.
Yeah, you're right about that. I believe that you'll be preaching that throughout the season. I think your guys will respond to it as well. And you know, you brought up a good point. I mean, the disparity in enrollment size makes a big difference in what you have coming out. I mean, there are the special programs who are the small schools who, you know, because really, 12 guys is 12 guys. If you're some of these smaller programs that you've got that built in, tradition, and you're in a place where there are those kind of athletes, you know, but that's few and far between.
It is anymore, so even more than it used to be. I remember, you know, we won a state title and we were third in the conference. You know, it's just stuff like that. We've had really good teams and then, you know, three or four losses in our conference. And
Like UConn. It seems like every time UConn would win a national championship, they couldn't win the conference.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, you know, you're going against good competition every night in and out, and they want a piece of you. So, you know, they're going to get you once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, your shot won't go. They went the game before. And
And they know you, too, because you're talking about coaches that you've been coaching against for a long time.
Yeah.
You see them twice a year. You know, that's a different familiarity than once in the playoffs, and I've got a day or maybe two to prepare for you. That's a totally different deal.
Totally. That's a good exactly right. It's a great point to make.
Everybody
knows everybody.
When you've been through the league as long as you have, like everybody pretty much knows what the traits of a Coach K team is going to be, like what you're going to do. Like there's not a whole lot of surprises, I don't think, when you play these guys who have been coaching in this league for 5 or 10 years.
No, there isn't. But the reason being is we try to get better at what we do. I know good coaches that I've respected in the past, they've always stressed that be real good at what you do.
Yeah.
Don't do about four different things and you're okay at them. You know, so, yeah, they are ready, but hopefully we can keep getting better and better at what we do and we can compete against those guys doing the same thing. Now, that Coach K moniker came when I first started teaching in elementary PE, and those kids could not spit out
I'm
that.
I'm sure they couldn't.
So I had to cut her short, and that's where it all started.
I had to ask some people about how do I say the name when I first seen it. I didn't know. I was like, you know, tell me how I say that name, and they told me, and then you told me, you know, just call me Coach K. Okay. And here's the thing. I like you a lot better than the more well-known Coach K anyway. So, to me, you are Coach K.
You're all right, Rob.
He's Mike Krzyzewski. You're Coach K, in my opinion. People that know me have known I've been kind of outspoken about some recent comments he had. But
I read a couple of those.
Yeah, that's a conversation for a different show here. St. Edmund basketball, the boys now 2-2 on the season. And here you go, Coach. Coach K with me this morning. And here you go into this week. A big week for you, three games. Iowa Falls, Alden at home on Tuesday. solid South Hamilton team at home on Thursday, and then you turn around at Humboldt Friday on the road. So three games this week, Coach. Is this the most critical stretch of this season so far?
Critical. It would be nice to get a couple or one or whatever, because these guys are good for us. Now, Iowa Falls is a kid, that guard, that Sherrar kid, that just is really good. And he just signed with Iowa. He's a scholarship football player.
Okay.
But he's like a linebacker DB, so he's got some athletic
strong,
ability.
Yeah.
You know, he's really strong. And I always thought he was strong when he was a freshman for a freshman. Now he's a senior, about three times that strong. So that, you know, we're going to try to slow him down here, and if we can defend the other guys a little bit. Then we go to that. South Hamilton has another Iowa recruit, scholarship player, alignment that play in the post for him. But he's not just a big guy that walks around. Yeah, he's going to be compared to that Graves a little bit. I don't know how he steps away. We haven't seen him a whole lot.
Okay.
But the kid can play. And then you got, it's Humboldt, you know, there's another school three times our size.
Don't have an athlete.
Yeah, it's a rivalry, you know, and that's another thing. About every one of these games are rivalry games. You're close, the kids know, the families know each other. You know,
right.
So it's not like they're not going to be charged up to come and play.
Yeah.
So it'll be a challenge for us, but hopefully we keep taking steps forward, keep improving. A lot of hard work, a lot of little things you got to do. So,
yeah, and it's going to take, you know, being ready and focused three times in 5 days, or three times in 4 days, actually.
Yeah.
It's a hard challenge, you know. It's a lot to ask, and that's what it's going to take for you to be able to kind of get through this stretch, you know, with a winning stretch here.
You're right, Bob. We had a couple kids come off the bench that haven't got to play a whole lot last night and did really well. You know, they used the talent they have. They used it to, you know, there's a big word for it, but I can't think of it right now. They really optimized their talent.
Maximized
what they had. Thank you. It's neat to see, you know, they're not the most talented kid in this way, but they work really hard.
Right.
And they listen, and they try to do what you ask them to do. And so it was really neat to see, like, Grant Heldorfer came off the bench last night, and it's a close game in that second quarter. We had to use him. We had some foul trouble. Just drills a three. It's one of those shots as a coach you look and go, Grant, good shot, Grant.
yeah. No, yes. I've been there too.
And that was really fun, and the kids just rallied around it, and we had some kids come off the bench. It was a lot of fun last night when we had a little success, and they came in and did a really good job. So, like you talked about this week, we're going to have to expand that bench a little bit again.
Yeah.
Because of the wear and tear.
Sure.
Not anything else.
Three times in four nights, and you're going to ask some guys to give you some contributions that maybe they don't have to give you all the time, but you're going to need it now.
Yeah. They're going to have to come in and scrap.
And that's the deal of it, you know. And you're only going to practice once. And, you know, you're going to practice once Monday. You're going to play Tuesday. You're going to practice once Wednesday, and that's it. So you're going to really have to maximize what you do in terms of being in the gym to be ready in this stretch, because it's live rounds, Coach.
And you really have to work on it's hard to prepare for teams individually in a stretch like that.
Oh, yeah.
You're just going to have to really work on trying to do what you do the best you can do it.
And then adjust to them within the game, really.
Yeah, exactly. So if we can, you know, we can do some certain things and get away with it, we'll do it. And if we can't, then we got to go back. We got to scratch it and go back to something else. And you're right, you make those in-game decisions. You know, Noah, you were talking about guys off the bench. We were, and, you know, Noah Simpson came in. Now, he probably had about three shots at a charge, and they weren't charged. The official did a good job, but he's doing what we're asking him to do. Now, I thought maybe we had one with Sean Flattery, maybe not enough contact, but that's how we protect the rim, and we work on that constantly. I don't know if people work on it. We have drills for it.
And, where you take charges to the drill?
Yeah, you slide and, you know, get in position, keep your feet moving to adjust to the, maybe he'll put a move on you at the last second. If you can stay squared and keep those feet moving and get in a good spot, you know, where they can hit you flush.
Right.
So Noah came in and was threw his body right out there three straight times, you know, and that's a step for Noah, and the kind of step we like to see.
Right.
Because games get physical, and you got to be able to handle it. You got to be able to scrap and get physical back. If you don't, you're on the outside of the window looking in.
Yeah, so, for sure.
So I was really proud of him in that respect. You know, Anthony Lucina came off the bench last night, took good shots. Now, he scored 6 points. He's averaging 10 or 11 or 12, something in there. But he did a better job of moving the basketball than he's done. I mean, he sacrificed a shot he could have had to move the ball and get a teammate a better shot. You know, things like that make a team better.
Sure.
And you know, and as a coach, that's what you strive for. You have those 12 guys to worry about, where a parent might have one child, one player to worry about.
Right.
But we've got to put all these guys together. And that's why you have, sometimes with high expectations, you'll have a meeting before the season and explain that is, you know, I know your son averaged 22, but you might have to sacrifice a little bit,
yeah,
and we can go up with five or six more.
Yeah, you may only get 15 this year, you know, but we're going to win, and that's kind of what matters.
And you get four more rebounds and
a couple of assists.
Four or five assists a game now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going want to play in college, a good college coach looks at a well-rounded player. How is he going to fit into my philosophy? Not
right.
Average 25.
Right.
How does he fit into what we do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's pretty solid. Maybe he won't play his first year. But this kid's going to get better and better, and he's going to end up being something that we need that will help us. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. And if you're, you know, one of those type of programs and you deliver on those expectations, I mean, you know, that, I think that everybody knows when you look at that, you have to kind of adjust that. You know, you're playing at a high level and you've got three or four guys who can go who are college players around you.
Yeah.
You're not going to average 30 like you're the only guy at a place.
Yeah.
And coaches know that. Like,
yeah,
then nobody's looking. You know, when you evaluate players, you don't just look at the numbers. You want to see what the guy looks like on the film and how the film translates.
Guys that have a clue do. They really do. They want to know what kind of player he is. Maybe even what kind of person he is. You can tell by the, you know, a big part of his personality is he's willing to sacrifice for other kids to make them better and make the team better. You know, those are the kind of kids that you can kind of tweak and get them to fit into what you do sometimes. Maybe they're not exactly right, but, you know, you can see they're willing to sacrifice, and that's a huge thing.
That's true. And so, that's one of those deals that I always like to watch guys in person when I can, because that you only can tell stuff like that from watching the guy in person.
Yeah.
Film, highlight film's not going to show you that. Like, right. I want to know, I know pretty much if he's a D1 recruit that he can put the ball in the bucket, or, you know, he's an athlete. I know that already.
Yeah.
I want to know not what he does well. I want to see what he doesn't do well and how he responds to that.
There you go. How he responds to the adversity is so big, because guess what? When you go to college, a lot of adversity you didn't expect or didn't go through before.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
You know, the attrition. You might be the best player here, but there's about six of those best players.
Yeah. Every guy you play with when you go to college was a star where he came from.
Exactly.
And he was a star where he came from. That's the deal. If he wasn't, it's because he came from somewhere like New York or Chicago, where everybody is stars, and there's a bunch of guys that are going to be making money to play the game.
Yeah.
In 2 years that he just played against. Like that's pretty much how that works.
Yeah.
Normally, you go to college, everybody was a star. Everybody can put the ball in the bucket. Can you stop a guy from putting it in the bucket?
Yeah.
Can you do the little things? And what are you going to be like 2 or 3 years from now, as opposed to what you look like exactly right now?
Yeah.
You know, those are the keys that that sometimes I think get lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Yep. If you want to have, you know, a good coach has got a successful program, doesn't, you know, he wants those guys to fit into his philosophy.
Right.
Yeah, and like you were just talking, different things. Can he D up? Because we can't give up 25 of his guy, and he scores 25.
Yeah, he can get us 15, but he's going to give up 25, so that's a minus.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's
all about plus minus, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the game has changed so much now to where it basically comes down to efficiency ratings. And if a guy is a good scorer, but he's a terrible defender, his plus minus is bad. Like, I can't put him I can't have him on the floor much because his plus minus is so bad.
You know, and I don't think coaches with technology now get out like they used to.
Right.
And go to gyms and watch players play. They'll get on, you know, some form of technology or social media.
Huddle and
do a lot of recruiting that way.
And
I think they miss out on a lot. I mean,
I think so too, because I think it's hard for you to tell, you know, unless somebody sends you the full game video, which that's the only way.
And stuff, yeah.
You know, because otherwise you're seeing what they want you to see.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like a highlight film is just that. It's a highlight film. That's
Facebook
what they want you to see.
Facebook or social media, everybody's big and beautiful.
Everybody's great on a highlight film.
Yeah.
Like, I can show you my old highlight film, and I'd have looked like a player.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. You just splice it up.
Yeah, you take the, okay, well, I did this good, one good thing this game, and I'm going to do another good thing that game. So put that together. So there's a whole lot more to it for sure.
Yeah.
This three-game stretch right here, Coach, we kind of talked about how maybe it's not necessarily critical, but this is kind of a momentum stretch going into Christmas because this is going to finish up the first half of the season.
Yeah, it is to an extent. If you're in that gym every day practicing and stuff as a coach, it helped me to maybe have done it before, been through it before, but, I have to look at it as, hopefully with everything that's going on, we can have a second half of the season.
True.
We just want to look at improving. Now, when you're playing good competition, sometimes it's hard to improve and get a W-2, so we have to look at it like that. We want to do this, this, and this right. If we can do that, hopefully that gives us a chance to be there, We're not going to shoot 80% a lot.
True.
From the field. So if we can do these other little things and keep improving on them, we have talented kids that can score the ball. They really can. But you have to stop people, and you can't give them second shots.
And your shot selection has to be solid, too.
Exactly.
That's a big thing for you.
It's not like a shot clock, Rob. We don't have one.
Right.
So shooting a jumper with a guy in your face, I know you can make one out of four of those, but that isn't going to help us.
Right.
We can get that shot about any time.
Yeah, true.
So if we can just work it and get as many open looks as possible where you're capable of scoring from, that's what we try to do. That's what
true.
We want to do.
True. And, of course, if you've got a team who can value the basketball and not turn it over, you can lengthen the possessions and that kind of thing. I've had teams where I wanted to shoot it in the first 8 or 10 seconds because if not, we're probably going to turn it over. So let's just go ahead and get something in transition and shoot it, because at least that gives us a shot at the bucket and we can rebound it if we miss it. There's differences depending on the teams that you have in that regard, but with what you guys do, pretty well schooled and trying to be patient and making that extra pass and moving the ball.
Yeah, we try to do it. Turnovers have to bother you a little bit. If they don't bother you a little bit, then we're in trouble.
Oh, they bothered me a whole lot more than a little bit.
I know. They have to. As a player, they have to bug you a little bit.
Yeah, it has to. Yeah.
So then you don't like doing that. You won't do it again. And so when you see guys that are throwing it away and they just slough it off, I could go out there and throw it away.
And one thing that drives me insane, and I'm sure you're going to agree with this, is when a guy throws it away, and then he just kind of
pouts.
He kind of pouts. He doesn't fully sprint back on defense. Like, if you're going to turn it over, you better run the floor and make up for it on the next side. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, get back and try to do something kind of make up for it defensively.
As a coach, you want to see that effort, and it bothers you because then you know that you're going to get better at it. Yeah, and hustle back. Don't double it or make two of them. And you threw it away. Now I get back and defend and see if we can get a stop here.
Yeah.
And it's not such a big deal.
Right. For sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned turnovers bothering you. One of the best lessons I ever had as a player, freshman year, first scrimmage of the season, I was on the JV team. There was a lot of guys who were sophomores, a year or two older than me, good players.
Yep.
I'm starting. And we're playing against a pretty good team, and they're pressing early on, and I have a really terrible start to the game. Like, turned the ball over like 3 or 4 times. Like, I was just all over the place. So coach takes me out, and he says, now you're going to sit down. He said, collect yourself, and I'm going to put you back in the game. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when I put you back in, if you play like that again, you're coming back to the bench and you ain't getting off the bench. Like, he said some other things that I can't say on this show, but you basically are not getting off the bench in the second round. And that was the best thing that ever could have happened to me, because I regrouped from that and I said, you know what, I'm going to make the easy read right now, because I do not want to have to go back to that bench.
Yeah, if a guy's open, get in the ball, and then he will move it. Then it's his job.
Yeah.
To either move it.
Yeah, then he gets to go to the bench. Yeah. He turns it over. Like,
exactly.
It's out of my hands.
If they're open, move it.
Yeah.
And then, a lot of times shooters don't realize that either. It comes back.
Right.
Get that open guy. And you're waiting for the really great pass.
Yeah. The one where you're already squared and, like, stepping into it.
Yeah, that's what you want. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you can't always
sure.
make the great, great play. You know, sometimes that's when you start forcing them, the great drive and a kick. So, yeah, you had to learn that.
And that was a great lesson for me because I never really had that issue after that for the next 3 years.
And that sitting down and him telling you that meant a lot to you.
Obviously, it did. I still remember it. It was 25 years ago or whatever it was. So, yeah, it did. It stuck with me, and he's right, and I believed it. That's another thing. They got to believe what you tell them. Like, if you're gonna lay the law on guys, like, they got to believe it, that you mean it. And I knew without a doubt that it was for real at that point.
Coach Pilcher out at Iowa Central, you'd be talking to him, and he'd go, you say, God, he won't do that, or he's not doing this. He goes, that long piece of pine is the best teacher you can have.
Yes, it really is. It really is, because that right there will... he'll figure out, he'll get the message with that.
Yeah, most guys don't, if they're capable, they'd rather be out there.
You get to hearing that horn and okay, I'm going to the bench now. And, in college game especially, when you give up that opportunity and you go to the bench, you may not get it back
because other guys
can go, Well, Coach K, it's been a great visit as always. I feel like you and I could do an individual show for 2 or 3 hours.
I enjoy it, Robin. I really do. I enjoy talking to you. Thanks for bouncing stuff off. You have some knowledge that's really good, and basketball knowledge, and it's a lot of fun.
I really appreciate that. And, of course, good luck to you this week. A big week for you and your program. We'll be following you and everybody that's hearing us now. You can hear St. Edmund play Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night all right here on 99.7. So, Coach, I appreciate the time and good luck this week.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Coach K, Adolph Kokendorfer, St. Edmund boys basketball coach.